I know you're injured right now, but you're still making towns. So,
Yes.
can you talk to me a little bit about what you've learned about the injury since then? I know you've had surgery, but can you talk about as far as like any restrictions you have, especially compared to the last time you were out for this extended amount of time? You had I think it was a bicep before.
So, I mean, obviously, there's no good time to get injured in wrestling. I guess in any sport, but this is certainly not a good time. I was just hyping up and I put out this video 4 years since I've been released from WWE, all the things I've done, and then boom, same day, I knew my pec's torn, but I wasn't going to say it that day. I let the video get like 1 million or so views. And then I said, oh, by the way, tore my pec. And even that, just clotheslining someone over the top rope, shit happens, right? I felt it right away. And then I was hoping, I didn't need surgery, but I did. And fast forward, it's been 2 weeks. The tendon has been repaired, and now it's just rehab, it's just resting. But Matt Cardona doesn't rest. Matt Cardona can't sit on the couch. I can't Netflix and chill. So the first 48 hours after I got surgery, instead of relaxing and sleeping and eating junk food, I did eat some junk food, but I was just on my email, on my phone, on my calendar, calling all these promoters, switching around my schedule, because in wrestling, especially independent wrestling, it's so hard to gain momentum, but it's even harder to get it back after you lose it. And I wasn't just going to take 3, 4, 5, 6 months off. No way. So I'm still going to be making towns. I'm not going to be wrestling. So as far as limitations, like, I can't wrestle. That's pretty much it. But I don't think people come to see Matt Cardona have a wrestling match. I think they come to see Matt Cardona, to see the entrance, to see the promo, to flip me off, and then go buy my merchandise. Sure. Can I wrestle? Yes. But that's the extra,
Yeah, no, I'm glad you're having fun with it, all things considered, because right after I heard it, I think Sean Ross Sapp reported it from
Of course
Fightful.
he did. Of course he did.
Hey, when you're healed up, you guys can have a match. I don't know. Feels like
Right.
he's been teasing that, but
Yeah.
as soon as I heard that, obviously the first thing is I feel terrible because you're on this great run, but then I was like, you're probably not going to miss much time at all. Like, I didn't expect you to stay home, like, because kind of how you treated the first injury, like, you were still out there making towns, like, selling merch, like, keeping yourself out there. You didn't sit home and do nothing. So, was there at any point, and this was another funny part. Steph DeLander did an interview and she was like, you guys weren't together at the same event, but she was like, yeah, she heard from you and said, I'm injured, but then didn't hear from you for an hour. And she even like texted Chelsea and she's like, is he joking right now? Because you went and sold merch. Like, was it
Yeah.
right? Like, what was this a case of you already knew something was like really screwed up and you couldn't do anything about it at the time, or like, did you consult anybody on site as far as should I go get looked at immediately, or do I have time to sort of fulfill the agreement or the to finish meeting the fans and doing that stuff before you go and do it?
Yeah, so this was at Reality of Wrestling, which, by the way, has a great setup, great facility. I was blown away. It was almost like a mini performance center. But I was the main event, duh. And like I said, clothesline the guy over the top rope. I'm not a doctor, and I've never torn my pec before, but I'm like, holy shit, I just tore my pec. I felt it right away. We finished the match right away. And I went to the back, and like, what am I going to do? Go to an emergency room for them to tell me it's torn for me to fly back to Orlando? Like, what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? And there was a line of fans, and like, I don't want to say everyone in the building, but a good portion of the fans of the building came to meet me. And I wasn't gonna just leave them hanging. And I didn't contractually have to. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't part of the deal. You know, like, I didn't owe them anything in the sense that, I didn't like take money from people, but I owed it to them as supporters, as fans. Mm-hmm. So this isn't like a Barry Horowitz pat myself on the back moment, but it's the right thing to do, you know? And I feel like anyone should have done that in that situation. Listen, if I needed like emergency surgery, different story, right? Let's not, you know, my arm wasn't like hanging off, you know, I didn't need, you know what I'm saying? This is something that was going to be done in a couple of days. So it's like, there's no reason for me to go to a hospital right now.
Yeah.
Let's meet the fans. Let's make some money, but let's create some memories for these people and a connection, because, you know, I always tell people when independent wrestlers, they ask me for advice, I say the connection with the audience is the most important thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And some of these people, I'm sure they saw I was injured. Like, I was screaming afterwards, like backstage, I'm sure they heard it. You know, I was just screaming to myself, like, fuck, fuck. Cause I knew, you know, this wasn't anyone's fault. Shit happens in wrestling, right? It ain't ballet. But I think it was pretty obvious I was in pain. Like, I could barely sign because I was using my right arm, which is what I, you know, I tore my right pec. So I think, you know, even if I made one lifelong fan out of that, it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other thing that I kind of thought of was Cody in Hell in the Cell. It was kind of like, well, I'm not going to do anything worse to it, so I might as well,
right?
You know, like, now you just have to gear up for your own, like, leave the memories alone video when you come back,
right? And that's another thing too, is like, you know, poor Cody, you know, with that injury and everything he overcame, but he's ruined it for everyone with torn pecs after, because unless your pec looks as bad as Cody's or worse, you can't be posting that on social media, you know what I'm saying? So like, but yes, of course I had like bad bruising down my arm on my pec, but I'm like, I can't even post this because it's nothing compared to Cody. So it's like, let's not even post a photo until I'm getting surgery, until I'm in the, you know, until I got the gown on and everything. Cause what's the point, you know?
Yeah. And it, you know, I talked to Brian yesterday we were promoting TNA Under Siege. And I asked, because they said he wasn't cleared to wrestle. And he said it was a similar situation to you, but more or less wait and see, because he was waiting for the bruising to come to, you know, if there was bruising the next day, it would have been much worse. Thankfully, you know, he didn't have as severe of an injury, but, you know, it kind of goes to show, like, three similar injuries, and it's, you know, three different cases where Cody was the extreme with all the bruising. You have a little bit less bruising, but obviously needed surgery. And then, you know, Brian's pretty much just rehab and taking care of it. But you know, on another light note, you posted the caption, "This picture," which popped a lot of people. Do you have a favorite response to that picture?
I mean, listen, it looks pretty gross right now. I'm sure it'll subside. I don't have a favorite one, but some of them were really, really good. It's one of those pictures where I knew, like, this is the kind of stuff that blows up on social media, right? Like, let me just post this. And instead of me, like, you know, if I put a dirty caption on, it might be taken the wrong way. I'm like, how about this? Mm-hmm. Caption this. You guys, what do you think it looks like? You know, and I think you can tell what it looks like if you looked at it.
Jordan Grace, I'll give her credit. I think
she had some good, and she just kept coming.
And the funny thing is like, to your point, it's like, I want to say something back. And it's like, wait, if I do it, maybe it's a little weird, but she does it and it like blows up. And it's like, you know, like, you get the intended reaction. So
exactly. And also it's just more interaction, you know, because people are just leaving their comments. Cause I'm, what do you think it looks like? And then they're making up all these crazy ideas.
Well, hopefully, you know, the recovery goes well for you, and, you know, back sooner than you expect and healthy. But I do want to talk a little bit about GCW before we get out of here. GCW is at the Egypt Shrine Center tomorrow. It's, you know, as we're recording, it's Thursday. They'll be here Friday, May 3rd in Tampa tomorrow night. Your tenure in GCW has been really fun to watch, because I think when you first arrived, it was like, oh, nobody, you know, maybe nobody thought you were going to be as ingrained in GCW events as you've become, especially winning the title, the Deathmatch King, like so many things have come out of that. Did you originally expect to have such a lengthy run? And did you expect the GCW audience to embrace you as much as they did?
The original run, the original agreement is three shows. One, I lay out Nick Gage. Two, the death match with Nick Gage. And three, I lose the title. But after that first night where I laid out Nick Gage, I knew, holy shit, like we have something. And not just me and GCW, but me, like this is what I need for my career. And then that death match, I don't think anybody, myself included, expected that match to create the buzz that it did. And I don't think anybody thought I was going to be all in on that match. Like, this wasn't like some no DQ match. This wasn't some street fight. This was a death match. The blood, the glass, the light tubes, the pizza cutter. I don't think I could have gone more all in. And after that, I knew that I would be in GCW for as long as this independent run would be. And it's, now, I would say I'm not an outsider at GCW. I'm on the roster. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm one of the guys. Am I at every single show? No, but I'm there every month, twice a month, three times a month. GCW is my home independent promotion, in my opinion. And as much as, I feel like I put GCW on the map, GCW put me on the map. As crazy as that seems, everyone knows. I was in WWE for over a decade, but once I left, I needed to find myself, and GCW helped me find myself. And it's been the greatest 4 years of my career. And I have a major announcement in Tampa. Listen, I'm not, like I said earlier, I'm not taking a vacation. This is not a vacation one bit. I'm actually going to be the busiest I've been because I'm gonna make all these shows, and then when I'm home, I'm gonna rehab. So plus go to the gym, plus do the podcast, plus make wrestling figures. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how I operate. And I have a major announcement that will shake up the summer for GCW for 2024, leading into their big event, Homecoming in August. That's the match where death match with Nick Gage was Homecoming 2021. I kind of treat that Homecoming like it's their WrestleMania. So the year after that, I was injured, but me and Chelsea had the we renewed our wedding vows, and then of course Nick Gage came and ruined that. And then last year it was the tag team death match, myself and Seth Delander against Nick Gage and Maki Ito. So what's Matt Carr going to do at Homecoming this year? We'll find out. At least we'll plant some seeds tomorrow in Tampa.
Or what's Nick Gage gonna do to upstage you guys again? So
Or that.
GCW ra rather you than me, that's tomorrow night, May 3rd, in Tampa. A big week for the Cardona family. You're gonna be making a big announcement, and then Tuesday, Chelsea has the NXT women's title match. I could be speaking to one half of the NXT women's champion.
I mean, how like historic would that be? I've already been one half of the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, brought that title to DDT Japan. What if I become one half of the NXT Women's Champion? Imagine just me walking out with that title on the Indies into GCW. Oh my God, the internet would explode.
Hopefully some people will know that it's not the real title this time. It's
I know,
one that
soft
you
wrong
bought.
cap you, Mark. Come on, it's a replica.
All right. Well, that's Tuesday. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. But I'll just say both Roxanne and Chelsea have been doing phenomenal work on their respective shows. So anything else you want to plug or promote before we get out of here?
Oh man, we could spend another
Do you have an abbreviated list?
Hey, listen, let's see. How about this? Majorbendies.com. We have Dusty Rhodes and Powers of Pain. The pre-order ends on Friday for the big rubber guys, which are kind of like the LJNs. And then we're also starting on Friday the pre-order for the Major Bendies, the next set, which has Steve Macklin, Danhausen, and Maki Ito. So listen, I'm all over social media. I have too much to plug, but if you go to majorbennies.com, buy some toys and scratch that figure itch.